You ever wonder why we even need the Church of Jesus Christ? And if it is so important, why are there so many problems and messes in the church? I'd like to invite you to the West Coast Bible Conference called the Corinthianization of the Church, where we look at the problems that happened and that Paul addressed in first century Corinth. We're going to be taking this up on April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. I will be speaking at the conference, Pastor Danny Hyde and Dr. Lee Gaddis. This is through the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. You can register now at alliancenet.org. Again, alliancenet.org. Or you can call 1-800-488-1888. Again, 1-800-488-1888. We would love to see you at the conference. If you're a regular listener to Abounding Grace Radio, I would love to meet you. We have an exciting conference planned where we're going to deal with issues such as celebrity pastors, sexual morality, communion chaos, spiritual gifts, and the resurrection. This is such an important conference for our day. If you're in this area, this is right in Carlsbad at the Carlsbad Community Church, do please join us for this conference. Again, the Corinthianization of the Church, April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. We would love to see you there. Visit again to register for the conference at alliancenet.org.
Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Remarkable how much attention Jesus gave to the hearing of his word. In other words, the importance of people to come and sit and listen to the proclamation of his word. Jesus dealt with a great problem in his day of many people hearing him without listening to him. There were a variety of responses in the gospel to his ministry, which is just shocking. And Jesus is using that to teach us the importance of paying very careful attention to his gospel program that he has set up on the face of this world of preachers to preach the good news to you. This is the means by which he brings people to glory, to heaven, to salvation. So important. We're going to look at this today from this little parable of the lamp that follows the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. That is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. And if Abounding Grace Radio is a blessing to you, we ask humbly for your prayerful and your financial support. It enables us to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. So do please let us know how these programs are a blessing to you. Here is now the program from Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25, which I have titled, By Means of Listening. For worship, for what purpose ultimately did you come? If I went around and surveyed and asked everyone, for what purpose did you ultimately come? I wonder, what answers would I get? Would it be the same answer? Would I get 500 different answers? What would be the answer to that question? We have for so long been programmed to ask the wrong questions when coming up to the house of the Lord. A great tragedy has happened, a great tragedy. In the most important blessing that God put in place for salvation, it is rarely now even appreciated or understood anymore as it should. The greatest blessing God gave, an answer to that question, why you need to be here. Why do you come? Why are we here? The answer is because God gave you a way to receive salvation. And in receiving salvation, we worship him in the splendor of his holiness. I want that to set in today, this receiving, something that God has put in place for us to receive so that it would have its sort of right place in our thinking when we think about church and we think about worship and we think about coming up to the house of the Lord. Jesus
made a way for us to receive so great a gift. But we have to recover and appreciate the way in which, the manner in which we receive so great a salvation. And that is why Mark has turned us to the issue of hearing his word. That is why Mark has really pressed upon us in this gospel Jesus' emphasis and heavy emphasis. I guess I was really impressed with that studying again this week. How much this means to Jesus and why it means so much to him. Mark has turned us to this issue of hearing. But what has been painful in our study of Mark so far? There has been something very painful. It's chapter 3. In chapter 3, Mark captured it. It was a series of responses to him that were shocking. Why this response when he came with this intention? His own family was not believing. The religious leaders had come along and said that he has a demon in his teaching. You stop and say, here has come the light of the world. Here he has come to give the good news of the gospel, to bring salvation, to pull people out of darkness, to bring them into light. And those have been the responses to him? What in the world is going on? Why are people not listening to him? And you see, this challenges us this morning as we come to this particular part in a section of Mark's gospel. It challenges us at the most basic point and place of our Christianity. It challenges us as to the heart of our Christianity, how we are responding to Jesus. You all come here. You all gather. Are you hearing him? If the multitudes, now think about this thought. If the multitudes could sit and listen to the very voice preach to them of the Son of God. They heard it, and many did not respond. What of us? That's the challenge of this. Of course it is. Jesus is pressing with this issue. Jesus is pressing hard with this question. How do you address the problem? That's the question. How did Jesus address this problem of people hearing without listening, as we looked at last week? And that question takes us now to the basic reason Jesus is addressing the problem. He desires that people who come up before the Lord to listen to his word, to hear a sermon, that they give all of their focus, all of their attention to really listen to him. To really listen to him. Listen in such a way that really does profit your soul. And that's what this is about today. All of this comes and is rooted this morning from the parable that Jesus said, you cannot understand any other parable unless you understand the parable of the sower. Jesus is rooting these parables that follow from that one to illustrate again the very truth that he demonstrated in the parable of the sower. Everything is an outflow of that. Jesus pressed home the main point of that parable, and he's not done now with the issue of hearing. He's not done with that. That's what drives this next parable. How now is he pressing us with hearing? What is the application strong he uses to press us with hearing? Well, the problem again is that Jesus has been dealing with a series of wrong responses to his very message. Remember the first. He captured this for us. In the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, he outlined four kinds of responses to the ministry of the gospel preached. We're talking about those who come and sit and listen to it, who hear the word of the kingdom preached to them. The sower sows, he goes out, this is Jesus. And he says the first one fell on the path. It fell on a very matted down, hard heart, a heart that is very similar to a seed landing on a path. It will not receive the word. And whatever they hear, through the activity of Satan, he comes and immediately takes it away so that it will not bear any kind of fruits to repentance. And he goes on and he talks about, remember the parable of the rocky soil, where it springs up for a little bit, and when these people are immediately received in and they're excited as fast as they came in, as fast as they are out, because They are tested when hardship comes in life. There's tribulation because of the word. Life goes south on them. We looked at a whole bunch of scenarios last time, and the word brings to bear the proper light on the thing that has happened, and they no longer want to hear that. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't understand they have to count the cost, and they don't like it, and they're gone. We've seen that in the ministry constantly. And there's another kind of hearer. There's those who hear the word, and there's thorns. These are those who are in the church. There's thorns that choke out the life of the word being heard. There was once interest, now there's no interest. These are those who walk up to the house of the Lord, and all the deceitfulness and the cares of this life have the effect of choking out the word so that it's not heard, and there really is just no interest in this. There's no interest, really. There's no growth. And then he described the good soil, which was really encouraging. It landed on really good soil, and it sprouted up, and it bore fruit. Why? Jesus says, because they heard the word, they understand the word, they received the word, they accepted the word. Those are all the ways the gospel describes the good soil. And they bear fruit in their life, some 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, someone could get a little bit confused about all this, I suppose. He himself spoke the parable. The multitudes walked away. And then he only explained it to those who came back and wanted to know about it. His friends, the disciples, and some others. And it sort of begs the question, well, maybe this is sort of Jesus' fault for not making it clear. I've been really pressing that particular question. Is the problem Jesus? Maybe the blame here, we can even go further, is just on his election. Maybe he really doesn't want that light seen by everyone. Jesus is particularly dealing with that thought right now. In our terms, he's putting out the hyper-Calvinistic doctrine that maybe I'm just not elect. That's the problem. And he is putting water all over that fire. Is Jesus the problem? Is Jesus to blame that some don't come in? Is Jesus to blame for the variety of responses? Is his preaching the problem? How many stood there, listened to God's very voice, and the responses were so different? To which we all should say, why? Why are they so different? Was Jesus just not very clear? Maybe, and we talked about the sermon critiques going on in the kingdom last time. You can imagine all the sermon critiques with all these different kinds of responses. And now Jesus addresses this. He begins another parable. And the first thing he does is address in his intention the purpose of his speaking the word, which still goes on to this day. Right now, across the whole face of this world, right now, the Lord has set up preachers. And think about it. All over today, the seed is being cast. It is being cast. Cast, cast, cast. He has set this up. It's going out right now. And he said to them, verse 21, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? Well, it's kind of a rhetorical question, isn't it? Did anyone there, when they heard that, not know what he was asking? In other words, everyone must have been standing there and thinking, of course not. That's too easy. It's obvious. When you light a lamp, and you had no electricity in those days, you needed to do that. So in the evenings, you would take them and you would put them up in the greatest spot of a home where it would shine the greatest light in the home. Everyone knows you do that. Everyone knows you need to do that. It would be absolutely foolish to put that off in a corner and under a blanket. Now, what is he doing here? How do you understand that? That's the question. A lot of commentators we'll immediately go into our personal witness in this particular regard. This is all about us being lamps in the world. And that has nothing to do with this. Anyone who would look at the original language would be really caught by the fact that there is there is a definite article in front of lamp that for some reason the translations don't pick up. In other words, it means that it goes like this. Does anyone put, is a lamp brought, is the lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? The lamp. That's what he wants to capture. The lamp. Now, you ask the question, what's he talking about? Who is he talking about? And the answer's easy. Him. Him. Did I come to hide my light? That's his question. Did I come to hide my light to this world? I am, Jesus says, Psalm 119, I am the lamp on the hill. I am the one lighting the path. I am the light of the world. I never came to put my lamp under a bowl. I never came to hide my message. I never came to put it off in the corner. I came and I proclaimed it openly in the streets. I proclaimed it on the mountaintops. That's what he's been doing. And you say, well, I'm a little bit confused about these parables, this parable business. I don't understand this parable business. Why is he speaking in parables all of a sudden? He's just started this new way of preaching. And which is important to note that he didn't start with parables. But for some time now, he has been speaking openly and plainly about the matters of the kingdom. He's been speaking openly and plainly about his person and his work. But the responses of chapter 3 are a huge moment in the Gospel of Mark. Many were not listening, and many were not taking him seriously. And that is what has inaugurated the introduction of parables. Notice you had those responses, and then boom, here come the parables. But what are the parables exposing? Well, we see it in the very meaning of the first parable, which he said is the guide to understanding all the parables. He says the parables are exposing a great divide between those who are in the light and those who are in the darkness. Jesus said this, of course, in John's gospel when he gave the glorious announcement in John 3 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then if you go on and read, remember what he said? If we get past John 3:16, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been done in God. It's a remarkable statement. Here's what Jesus is saying to us. I'm the lamp in the open. I'm proclaiming forgiveness of sins. They had witnessed this when he said, Son, in chapter 2, forgiven are your sins to the paralytic. I am announcing the coming of the kingdom of God. But what has that light brought? An exposure of a whole lot of darkness. So why is his light so obscured? Well, why are so many not responding? Why are so many not looking and seeing the light? And Jesus is dealing with a particular problem in this parable of unbelief. Remember what Hebrews said about Israel? We tend to think of Israel going through the wilderness, and we tend to see them as such a different story than us. It's the same story. And in Israel's story, as they were going through, do you know what the author of Hebrews says happened every Sabbath? The gospel was preached to them. The gospel was preached to them. But for many, listen to this statement, they did not mix what they heard with faith. God has always dealt with his people in speaking the word. This is how he brings himself to his people. With some, they did not mix it with faith. They heard it, same problem, but didn't mix it with faith. Now that leads us then to what Jesus is particularly addressing. Here he says, I'm not hiding my lamp. My lamp is out in the open. And then he goes on to say in this particular little parable, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. To which you ask the question, well, what's hidden? If it's not Jesus, what is hidden? What's hidden here today? What's hidden here today? He's not hidden. His message has all been heard today by all of us. If he's not the one who's doing any hiding, who's doing hiding? And that helps now to understand the purpose of the parables. The parables are given as light to expose hiding. Really important. They were hiding unbelief. And this is Jesus' way now of bringing it, as it all has come out into the open. This is Jesus' way of explaining the problem, exposing unbelief, while also exposing belief and faith. It's really important. This is what he's doing here with the parables, as he openly rewards those who are hearing him. In other words, my parables, Jesus is saying, bring to light what is hidden. And they are providing a way to further reveal light to those who are in the light. So it's not just that parables are concealing. No. No, they're very revealing to those in the light. Jesus is saying this, you can't hide where you are with my word. You can't. The speaking of the word is going to draw out a response. The speaking of the word will, in your life, draw out a response. Either now or on that day, it'll all be exposed. That's the effect of the ministry. That's the effect of the preaching and teaching ministry. Now, this question then of what is hidden is of immense importance as we understand. He's not hidden. His lamp's not under a bowl. His lamp's shining through to the ends of the earth. His lamp is being seen by many. He is not hidden. There's no lack of light that's been announced by Jesus. He has preached the gospel everywhere. He has come and thrown open his arms saying, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He's announced it on every hilltop. I desire mercy and not judgment. He said it. That's what I desire. I desire in this day of salvation to give you guys all mercy and not judgment. Isn't that a remarkable statement? That's his light. What is that light doing? Exposing hearts. Apply this in a few different ways, but there are undoubtedly people here for all sorts of different reasons. Be honest today. Be really honest today. As this challenge, that's Jesus' purpose. His intention is to challenge with the goal of bringing you into the light. So this is a positive challenge. The most pressing thing we have always taught and has not been appreciated as it should, and we're trying so hard to recover that, is the great importance that you come and your drastic need to hear the word of the Lord. That's the reason everyone's here today. The reason. Think of all the dynamics and challenges that go into this. Think of it just for a minute. 400 to 500 people sitting here, all hearing the same message today. In your brains, the truth is hopping around right now. You're processing it. God gave you a processor. But proper response contingent on how you hear it, how you're hearing it. Think then of this challenge right now. Just think of the real challenge of what's going on right now. Do you think there could be listeners here today who think they don't need much of any of this? Well, of course. They don't know what they need. And they don't really find it that appealing. Do you think we could have people here today whose heart is not in this whatsoever? It's merely other factors that bring them into these doors. I don't have to go through the factors. You know what those factors might be. Do you think there's somebody here right now who's really flirting with choosing a path of sin and is about ready to bolt and therefore can't hear or is in that path of rebellion? Do you think worry is so pressing down on some people right now? Do you think worry is so bearing down on some people in the course of their life that they are having a real hard time hearing the word of God to any profit? Do you think people ever stay away from church because of that? Something's gone wrong. They've had a conflict with someone. I'm not going today. You think that goes on? Do you think? You think it's possible the pastor said one thing in the course of the ministry and that has been the thing that has bothered you and shut you down so that you can no longer ministry? One thing that's bothered you. What happens when our ideas of Jesus, whatever they might be, are not in line with his message? And in other words, do you think people tune out what troubles them about the Bible when they hear the things they don't like? Or directly then comes close, too close to home? Judgment, sin. In fact, how many want nothing to do with what Jesus is saying and have made a decision today? How many know they should be in church and have made a decision to say no, thank you to the word of God? Now put this in context for a minute. My lamp is burning bright. My lamp is shining. I'm not the problem here. But my lamp is revealing those kinds of responses off in the corner. I've put my light up. I have shined it for thousands of years, and that light is revealing today who has come to the light and who is remaining in the darkness.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.